It's time for Golf DMV, highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And now, here is Claude Jennings.
Welcome back to another edition of Golf DMV 1500 AM on Federal News Network, also on Podcast One. You can get all things Golf DMV, including merchandise. Yes. If anybody's interested in buying some things, hats, making hats. Us some money. Mm-hmm. We've got great hats. We've got some shirts coming
shirts
down the line. Right?
The shirts are here. They just have to be photo taken of them and put on the site.
GolfDMVPodcast.com.
Yes.
That's where we get that. The voice you hear, ladies and gentlemen, that's LB. LB, what's up?
Good afternoon, everyone.
Vern is here, but Vern's off mic because this is a very special episode. He's getting video and he's getting pictures. We actually did this before, and Vern, in a rush to get to the mic, accidentally cut the power off, and so this is the second time that we started doing this, but no one knows that. Like, I literally did not have to say that because right. no one knew that until I just said it. We had City Swing in Northwest D.C., right on 5th Street. And we're here with the owner, Tari Cash. Tari, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for coming. We love having you here.
Well, so happy to be able to be here. It's interesting how we came across City Swing. And so it's interesting because I was seeing a lot of social media posts about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you see things, you know, you like it, you follow it a little bit, and you kind of keep scrolling. But it's funny, and golf is kind of this way, too. Relationships are everything. We did an event with Desiree Walker, the Puff and Putt.
Or Puff and Putt.
Yeah, it's hard to tell which one goes first because
some of us putt first and then puff.
Others puff first and puff a little more. And then, you know.
And never putt.
And
if you've been to the event, you know what I'm talking about.
You know what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we had a great time up there. She said, man, you guys got to check out City Swing with Tari Cash. And so we had been going back and forth on IG. And then, yeah, man, we're happy to be here. So talk a little bit about City Swing. What is it? Where is it? When you started? Just give us the rundown.
Okay. Well, City Swing, we are so proud to be the first indoor golf facility in Washington, D.C. The intention for the company is to make golf accessible and convenient for all of those that live or work or play in the district. And so we consider ourselves serving avid golfers, those that are addicted to the game and want that extra edge. They want the data and the analytics that our technology provides so that they can improve their game. Mm. We want those
you
avid.
You speaking Vern's language there with the data and
okay,
analytics.
Vern, we on the same page, Vern. We got TrackMan technology, so you know that is the best of the best for the analytics. And also those avid golfers that just, you know, when they can't get to the golf course, they feel like they're going crazy. You know, when it's raining, when it's dark outside, they just get that itch. Those are the folks that we're serving in here. But on the other hand, we are also very intentional about serving those that have never seen themselves as golfers, those that may be intimidated by the game. We play a lot of music. We have a very bright, fun atmosphere, which hopefully you're feeling the energy because we want to invite more people into the sport. So those are who we're serving. That's what we're doing here. We started about a year ago, and things just keep getting better and better every day.
Nice. And so you started a year ago. What specifically got you involved here at City Swing or starting the whole thing?
Yeah, so I love to tell people I'm a natural born trash talker, and my golf game did not back up my trash talking capabilities, and so I needed to course correct. And I know, just like everybody that plays this game, that repetition and practice is the only way to get better. Mm-hmm. So I live here in downtown D.C. I'm a member out at Woodmore.
Nice. And so a buddy of mine, Lamar Barnes, is a member at Woodmore too. I think my neighbor Gavin is. Are you familiar with Lamar?
I know Lamar. He's a great guy. He's a great guy. I do know Lamar. But at any rate, so living down here, trying to commute out to Woodmore, as you know, on a Friday afternoon, if you want to practice and get in 20, 30 minutes of swinging before you play Saturday morning, forget about it. Mm-hmm. And I was getting frustrated that I couldn't get out there enough. And so I said to myself, I was also doing SoulCycle a lot at the time and doing some yoga classes. And so I said, I should be able to practice golf the way I think about taking a yoga class or practicing a soul. It's like, I want to do every day. I want to do 30, 40, 60 minutes. And so I started to research indoor golf and realized that it exists everywhere, or it had existed everywhere except for Washington, D.C.
Right.
And the light bulb went off right away. Being an entrepreneur at heart, I said, there's a market here. There are a lot of golfers here. We have bad weather. We have bad traffic. It is difficult to get to golf courses. And this is a real thing. And so we got to be the first.
Wow. Wow. Again, we're in City Swing, Northwest Washington, D.C. It's Golf DMV. I'm Claude Jennings. We're here with Tari Cash, the owner here at City Swing. And so what went from that idea, let me get this going, to making a reality? Take us through that journey.
Yeah. So fortunately, I have worked with two incredible entrepreneurs. I worked for Tesla Motors back in from 2009 to 2013 and worked with Elon.
What was your position, if you don't mind me asking? Like, what did you do?
Yeah. So I was the regional East manager. So I ran all sales, marketing, and operations from Maine down through Georgia for Tesla. So back in 2009, I was maybe the second or third employee on the East Coast, period. Sweet. And it was just me and the little two-seater Roadster. This was before the Model S. And we were growing the business from the ground up. I opened the first store on K and 11th, and then we had one in New York, and we had team members up and down the East Coast. So that's what I was doing with Tesla.
Just one quick side thing. With the whole, when they're sending people to space, are you going to do that? Or like, is that something you're sending?
I'm going to let you go first and come back. And then when you come back, then I'm going
to
go.
Okay, see, cool.
It sounds like she believes we haven't been to the moon either.
We can open up a City Swing on Mars.
Right. And then I've also worked with Kevin Plank. So after Tesla, I went over to Under Armour and worked on a strategy team directly for Kevin. And so I like to share that because I've been around entrepreneurs with very big visions.
Right.
And but I also understand that if you want to stay in business, you have to do business the smart way. It's not just about having the big vision. It's about executing the details at the right time and in the right way. And so I very intentionally am launching this company in different phases. I say the first phase was business planning. So to answer your question, I quit my job in October of 2017, and I just researched. I learned, I visited over 20 indoor golf facilities around the country. Like I said, there wasn't one in D.C., so I traveled. There were several in Chicago. There were several in New York. I went to some in London and really met the operators to understand how do you do this thing successfully? And so that's what most of my first phase was. I also went to the PGA show in Orlando. I don't know if y'all have been or your listeners have been.
It's
but phenomenal, phenomenal opportunity where just all things golf are there. So while I was there, I got to meet every single technology, golf simulator technology company. I got all my contacts in one place. I evaluated all the technology in one time. And it was just an incredible opportunity to, you got to do the due diligence. I mean, you guys know, you have to put in the work, actually. Yes, you do. To get this far, you absolutely do. But you got to do the due diligence. You have to do the work. And so that's what phase one was. About for City Swing. Phase two, which is when we launched in July of 2018, we launched at City Center. That was always intended to be our pop-up phase. Okay. The goal for phase two was to learn what indoor golf is and what it means to people. How do we get this experience right? Who are our customers? What does our economic model need to look like? Again, the goal is not to be a business that stays around for 12 months. It's to be a rival to Topgolf. It is to be a national brand. And so in order to do that, we have to learn how to do things the right way from the beginning. And so the pop-up phase is just, we've got the one simulator. It's all about the golf experience. And we're learning how to then transition into what I call phase three, which will be multiple simulators. There will be a food and beverage component. There will be memberships. There will be a lot more different products and services that we'll offer to our community.
Wow.
I've thought about a place called Dewey's in Orlando.
Yes.
So we have been there a few times. And this when this popped up, it's like, oh, I wonder if it's going to be like Dewey's.
So, you know, it's interesting. There are several different models. Some indoor golf facilities have a gym component. Okay. Some, like Dewey's, are a little bit more sports bar-ish.
Right, exactly.
We want to kind of do things very sort of grown and sexy is how I like to think about it. I want a place where my girlfriends would come and have a glass of wine, and it feels very elevated.
Right.
But it's
it seems
also
like you're intentional
place
about that, too, because on a lot of your social posts, that's exactly like the images that you see. You know, you see ladies out having a good time. city swing.
I see ladies with wine. That's what I normally see.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly. That is very intentional.
Yeah.
First of all, I have a very personal mission of getting more women and people of color involved mm-hmm. in this game. I think mm-hmm. that there are, we all know, systemic reasons why we have not been, why we don't play as much. Mm-hmm. And we need to break down those barriers. We need to change that, because there's mm-hmm. too many examples of career advancement happening on the golf course.
Yep.
So we need to change that. So I am very intentional about it. But I also, you know, I want it to be a meeting place where all people of different backgrounds, different genders, different ages, everybody should come in here, feel like they're welcome. Everyone should come here and have the ability to have the good, have a good time.
Nice. Yeah, absolutely. It's golf
DMV. One of the things we always talk about, is golf being a great equalizer.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter what your political background is. But if you put a golf club or talk about golf, that all that stuff doesn't matter anymore. Mm-hmm. So
what we like to say, and I've got two of my team members here who I definitely want to get involved in this conversation. But we like to say that, just to your point of it being a great equalizer, we all know what it feels like to shank a ball.
Yep.
And we all know what it feels like to hit one cleanly.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll bring two people together very, very quickly.
Absolutely.
And you can become friends over those two emotions alone.
You're absolutely right. It's Golf DMV on 1500 AM Federal News Network, Podcast One, and golfdmvpodcast.com. You can shoot us an email, golfdmvpodcast@gmail.com. So talk a little bit about the indoor golf experience. What's some of the things going into the business that you may have thought, but then your research and experience taught you different?
That is a really great question. So, you know, as golfers, we think it's just going to be about the golf, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so people that can't get to the course, those are really going to be the people that drive the business. They're going to want to come. They're going to want to practice. I thought it was going to be a lot more about just the data and analytics and the mm-hmm. practice features. Mm-hmm. And that was very probably because that's what I was thinking about. Mm-hmm. I was mm-hmm. thinking about, how do I improve my game? I have been surprised at the number of people that actually want to learn that this is truly a more non-intimidating way to get started.
Mm-hmm.
I've also been, and I probably should have started here, the private events opportunity is one that I really didn't see coming in, but one that we are very aware of, particularly in D.C., where there are so many conventions that come through and so many tourists. Right. I just learned that like between 22 and 25 million people visit D.C.
Yep.
a year, some crazy number
and
like
you're
that.
Very close to the convention center on top of that.
We're very close to Convention Center. Right. So that is probably the biggest surprise in terms of I want to think about us as more of an events company than I would have thought when we first started the business.
Wow, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about your golf career. We want to bring your team in. Just how did you get interested in golf? And you know, obviously you play a lot. I mean, being a member, what more? Talk a little bit about your golf career.
Yeah, so I first... But my family, my dad introduced me to the game of golf probably over 20 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And like so many people, a family member is typically the first person that invites you to learn the game, particularly as a young, as a female. I think a lot of family members are the ones that get us started. So that's true for me because it was my dad that introduced me. I was like, I'm not interested in that sport. So I was introduced to it then, and then I didn't play at all. Until probably about 4 or 5 years ago when I started to understand the importance of learning and talking the game for my professional career. The power of golf. It really, particularly as an African-American woman, it is the easiest way for me to connect with other races and other genders.
Mm-hmm.
And it just is an instant barrier breaker and has been tremendously important for some of the things that I've done professionally.
Nice. Did you play in high school?
I did not. I did not play again until well after college
in
business school. Yeah.
Wow. And so, like, if you had to discuss the current state of your game, what's that?
Well, if you know, I will say for the benefit of the people on my team that are listening right now, I have beaten everybody on my team, and two of them played in college. And
good
so
night.
I am, you know, I'll just start there.
Okay. There's no need to go anywhere else.
Well, I'll guarantee you one thing. You would not be invited to play with us.
You're not embarrassing me out
you
there.
You should see my game before you say that. I'm very proud of beating these two gentlemen right here. Yeah. That's all I live for.
Well, it's so cool. I mean, we're at City Swing here in Northwest Washington, D.C., 5th Street. It's Golf DMV 1500 AM, Podcast 1, and also Golf DMV Podcast.com. And I want to bring the team on. So what we'll do, Tari, we'll slide your mic over, and then we'll get sir, your name.
DeMarcus.
DeMarcus was the first person that I encountered when I walked in. Yeah. Very friendly. Firm handshake, you know, and so that was always good. That's always good. So, DeMarcus.
Sure. Wrist.
Exactly. So, what brought you to City Swing?
What brought me to City Swing was I have a good friend of mine named Errol Clark and a couple other guys that are all members over at Woodmore Country Club, where Tara is a member at. And
all these Woodmore people.
But that's the
power,
people.
But the power of connect.
Power of golf. So, I met those guys when I was around 12, 13 years old. And we've just been stuck together through golf all this time. And so, we all have a group chat and whatnot, and one day they just came in and told me about the idea, told me who Tari was, and at the time I was finishing my last internship for a PGM program at UMES, and I heard about the opportunity, and I was like, wow, this is like sounds like the business of my dreams, almost too good to be true. And so I gave Tari a call, let her know that I was all behind the idea, whatnot. As soon as I was done, if she needed any help at all, another employee, I was all down for it, and she was excited to have me, and so I got lucky. That's the way I look at it.
I want to jump in here because DeMarcus represents so much of what I want the brand to be. When we had our first call, DeMarcus said, The sport of golf is changing, and it has to change if it wants to survive in the future. And he was able to articulate what I was feeling in my gut, that indoor golf was going to change the game. And his conviction, he was in Atlanta at the time, still, like you said, finishing up his degree, and we just connected right away. But he, you know, PG County, born and raised, essentially, an incredible golfer. I'll let him tell you how far he can crush the ball, played at UMES in college, and is just a tremendous asset to the team.
Nice. And, you know, it's interesting, too, when you talk about the fact that golf is changing, how indoor golf can help not just even sustain the game, but, like, grow the game. You know what I mean? Bring people who wouldn't be involved normally into it. And the thing that's so unique about it is, like, yeah, it's changing, but without like messing with the traditional folks who just want their membership or want to play their course, that's going to be there. That's not going to change.
That's
set.
Right.
But this whole new revolution of indoor stuff and the social element that brings more people in, that's all good.
Yeah, and to what you said, a lot of people probably don't know is, so Topgolf, kind of the first break into the indoor golf type of idea. They are actually responsible for, I think, 35% of the new golfers in the last year touched a golf club for the first time or had their first golf experience. It was around like 15 million people or something like that.
Wow. Just
people who have never played before, and that was their first experience of golf. And of course, I'm pretty sure a lot of people have been to Topgolf before. Topgolf is a really good way for people to learn and people to get their first experience. City Swing is a little bit better, but Topgolf's kind of common, so that's something everybody can kind of understand. It's like they are really making huge differences in the game of golf that you don't really realize until you see the numbers.
It's so cool because, I mean, obviously you guys are all in the same space, but, you know, it's almost like rising tides rise all. I mean, it's I consider it momentum more so than competition. The momentum is going towards it. And to be honest with you, listen, if it's 45 degrees outside, it's going to be cold at Topgolf.
It's going to be cold, at Topgolf.
Exactly. You come to City Swing.
Exactly. Right. And at the end of the day, we're all here just to make the game better, make it more accessible for anybody. So, I mean, if you end up at a Topgolf, I'm not going to be mad at you.
Cool, yeah.
You know, but there's a better opportunity in D.C. for a little more private experience. You know, people aren't looking at you. Everybody's not yelling.
Not a bunch of kids screaming around.
Exactly.
Which I cannot stand.
Right. Right. I'm kind of the same there. But no knocks on them, of course. Their business model is crazy.
Correct.
It works for them, but
I don't go.
Exactly.
It's for who it's for.
Yeah, exactly.
The same way if you were to get a lot of serious bowlers. Exactly. They don't want to go to Cosmo Bowl at 12 midnight so with the lights flashing.
Yeah, 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 I used to be one of those when I was younger. Before I picked up golf, I bowled since I was like 5-6 years old. Mm-hmm. And like that party bowling thing, when the lights go off, it's completely different.
It's just not your thing. Yeah, because you're serious.
Exactly. Like, I'm trying to do something here. And so like when the lights go off, I can't see anything. Yeah. But same concept, exactly.
So let's talk about your golf career. Okay. When did you start playing? And you played through, did you play in high school? Said you played in college.
Played in high school, played in college. So I started when I was 12 years old.
Okay.
I picked up the game on the Saturday of the 2008 U.S. Open, which was Tiger's last major before the Masters.
Nice.
So, yeah, it was a kind of a whirlwind.
A Tiger kid.
Exactly. A product of Tiger, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I picked it up. My dad and I were on vacation, and he got us some golf lessons, a very touristy way to pick up the game of golf. Mm-hmm. And it was just a part of our vacation, and I kind of just got the bug.
Did your dad stick with it?
Me and my dad both still play a lot to this day.
Those are probably some beautiful moments to spend on the golf course, you and your dad playing.
Yeah, okay. definitely some fun times. definitely some good moments for sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So you played in school.
Yeah.
How was that?
So high school and college, two different experiences for sure. High school was a little bit easier.
Where'd you go to high school?
I went to high school at Oxon Hill High School. Shout out to the Clippers.
They have a
hold
golf.
Hold on for a second. I got some questions.
Oh yeah, feel free. Yeah, we can go this way. Yeah, for sure.
So seriously,
yeah.
I didn't know Oxon. Now I grew up in PG County schools as well. There was no golf teams.
No, there was not.
So how did Oxon Hill have a golf team?
So I don't remember the year, but Prince George's County Golf, if I'm not mistaken, it started around early 2000s, maybe 2005,
okay.
6, something like that.
19 years at that point.
Well, yeah, okay. So so the wave was a little late. Not your fault. Not your fault. But
timing is everything.
Yes, exactly. So I'm happy it was there when I got there.
Right.
You know,
okay.
You guys paved the way. Whatever you guys did at a point.
Right.
I'm not sure what it was. I was not here, but I appreciate everybody that came before us.
What did we drink before
exactly.
you?
Exactly. Okay. And you know, there was stuff put before us for sure. But but yeah, so golf in high school was super fun. It was a little bit easier. In college was a way different experience.
Super competitive, I bet.
Super competitive. There's workouts, there's practices. It's shout out to all the student athletes out there. They know exactly what I'm talking about. Especially my guy Wilson right here beside me. It's a completely different thing. It's no longer you're going out playing for yourself. You have to show up. You have to be a part of a team. Just like if you play football or basketball, you owe something to your teammates beyond you just becoming better at golf for yourself.
So
it's just a different dynamic. And so there's traveling involved. I had an old coach, shout out to Marshall Cropper. he did not believe in flying. And so I have seen the entire East Coast from Maryland down to West Palm Beach, Florida, I've seen it all. But he was correct. It did build a lot of team morale. Every teammate that I've had at UMBS is all love. We're the best of friends. We all still talk to each other to this day.
Okay.
Every teammate that I've had through 4 years, we're close. Okay. And I attribute a lot of it to those hours and hours on the bus. Sitting there with nothing to do but talk to your teammates. So, I still wish I flew, but...
Yeah.
And so when you pull up to a course and you're getting ready to play, I mean, so like a lot of it, we show up maybe 15 minutes before the tee time. What was the normal routine before a round in school?
So in school, it was the team got up. So we always got there an hour and some change before whoever went out first.
Oh, okay.
So it didn't matter if your tee time was an hour and 10 minutes later. After the first guy, the whole team had to be there because the first guy went off then and he has to get the warm-up time. So, you know, there was a couple days where we didn't have to do that. The first guy was like, yeah, I'm good, coach. We don't have to go warm up, whatnot. We don't need all that time. But in most cases, it was a lot of early mornings, 5:30, 6 o'clock a.m. You get up, go get breakfast, hop on the bus, head to the course. Get a little about an hour practicing. I was a guy that wasn't too big on practice, so I kind of slept for like those first 15-20 minutes. I was 19, 20, you know, sleep was at a premium.
But
we definitely had a lot of good times, a lot of good golf. Learned a lot about the game of golf through college, and there's definitely a competitive difference for sure.
Nice. So spring Will on. Yeah. Will, so how'd you get hooked up here with the whole city swing and all this?
So I moved to D.C. in May of 2018. And I played golf in college at Emory University in Atlanta and then ended up working at a golf course in St. Louis for a couple of years. And I have some siblings that live in D.C. and I've kind of wanted to move here for a while. So I just said, you know, I'm just going to quit my job and move here. I had no job.
I'm just going to quit my job and move to DC.
Yeah.
The wonder of being young.
I'm just going to quit my job. I'm going to start this indoor golf thing.
Yeah.
I love it.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I moved here in May of 18 and was looking for jobs online. And I was like, what is this golf thing? Honestly, I thought City Center was opening an inflatable driving range thing for the summer. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I'm the most qualified person to ever stand at an inflatable driving range and just make sure people don't break it. Like, that's fine. And then I got coffee with Tari and one of the people that was working for her at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, holy moly. Well, this mm-hmm. is not what I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately, you know, emailed Tari. I was like, when do I need to start? What do we need to do? Yes, yes, mm-hmm. yes.
So Will was my first hire.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason he was the first hire is because not only is he an incredible golfer, he can speak the game. He's worked mm-hmm. at a course. He understands my personal mission and gravitated towards that very, very much. Right. Understood, again, that the game of golf needs to be more accessible to a number of different genders, races, you name
sure,
it.
Sure.
And really got behind that mission. And I appreciated that so much. And literally without these two, and particularly Will from day one, City Swing would not be what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think another thing that was kind of very personal for me was, and I told Tari this, when I moved to D.C., I brought my clubs, but I was like, well, I'm not really going to be playing golf. So, like, just give up that idea, period.
Mm.
And then one of the first people and things that I discovered was Tari and City Swing. And I was like, oh, well, you know, it was just a very concrete, personal problem that I was about to have in not having a place to play golf, and she was about to solve that problem.
Yeah,
and I was
let
me help you solve that problem.
Right. Yeah,
DC. So it really was couldn't have been more perfect timing, and it's been a great year so far. So
nice. So your golf career, talk about how you got into the game. And
so yeah, I grew up in Colorado playing golf, but lots of other sports too, baseball.
What
and
part of Colorado?
Because you played.
Were you in Boulder when you went to...
I was
to
in Golden.
You were.
I was in the... Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, long story, but I was doing some work out there.
Okay.
So I played Fossil... What's the course?
Fossil Trace.
Fossil Trace,
oh,
right.
Yeah,
with the
Fossil
dinosaurs.
Trace. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that course.
If people don't know it, there are literally, like, fossils.
Right. Yeah, I took pictures and posted them on Instagram, and people didn't believe me that they were actual fossils on the golf course. I'm like, it's right there with a big sign. I mean, what do you want me to do?
Yeah, there's like
that's what it is.
There's like holes that have like a wall of rock on
right.
the side.
Right. I ricocheted
like,
off that wall and almost hit a guy in the head.
It's like bumpers and bowling, you know, it kind of like brings it back in.
I love that course. Yeah.
But yeah, when I got into high school, got a little more serious about golf in particular. And then kind of in the middle of high school decided, oh, maybe I'll try to play college golf if I really get serious about it. And then, I had to walk on the college golf team. Wasn't even really like a sure thing, but, just went to school, made the golf team. And then, I think like DeMarcus ended up making all my best friends on my college golf team. And we still talk all the time today and playing all the great golf courses. That's one of the best things about college golf. The access to golf courses that
you couldn't play.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah. Like, it's incredible. Right. My one claim to fame is that my junior year, Emory University was fourth in the NCAA Division III National Championships, and to this day, it's a school record. So,
cool.
You know,
sweet.
You class of 2014 at Emory. That's us.
For me.
That's us.
All kinds of golf pride. It's Golf DMV on 1500 AM Federal News Network, Podcast 1, and also Golf DMVPodcast.com. We're going to take a quick break. We've got top of the hour news coming up on Federal News Network. If you're listening on the podcast, you don't have top of the hour news. You're just going to hear music and then more music, and we'll be right back. It's Golf DMV on Federal News Network, 1500 AM. AM Podcast 1 and GolfDMVPodcast.com.
It's time for Golf DMV, highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And now, here is Claude Jennings.
Welcome back to Golf DMV on Federal News Network, 1500 AM Podcast 1 and GolfDMVPodcast.com. Here at City Swing, we've got, the whole team here at City Swing hanging out. You got the whole story before. Now, Tari, if people want more information on City Swing before we get to Rapid Fire, go ahead and let us know how they can get in contact with you.
So our website is CitySwingDC.com. Mm-hmm. We're also on Instagram at City Swing, Twitter at City Swing, and Facebook.
Yeah. And currently, as we're recording this, we've got three guys here hitting in the simulator. Look at this. looks like they're having a good time. You guys having a good time? Nice. That's what I'm talking about. Now, this is your first time, or you repeat customers, or?
No, we've been coming since it was in the old location.
Nice. So, okay, good.
This is our first time in the new location.
Nice. Sweet. Real quick, Golf DMV, rapid fires. Okay, you pull up to a course. Are we playing from the tips? Sorry.
From the tips? No.
Where are you playing from? What's the yardage?
I'm playing from the ladies' tees.
All right, D'Angelo.
Is there any other tee box?
Yes, I can show you the ones that are further that are further up. Will.
Yes, unless I'm playing with my brother who demands that we go one forward because he's a recreational golfer.
Yeah. Of course, we've got these guys playing from the tips. Oh, man, where we play from? So here's the thing. So it's kind of a long story. So we usually would play from anywhere from 61 to 62 to 6,000 at one point. But then we're like, there's no point in doing that and still shooting in the mid-90s. Like, there's no point. So we're moving up.
Yeah, scoot up.
So we move. So DeMarcus says, but this is the dilemma we have, because when we drive past the tees and we're going all the way up, you just feel like demoralized. Like, man, I should be playing back. Yeah, and then, you know, and then DeMarcus says, scoot up. You know, it's like,
no,
dang,
it's
man.
About the game's about fun.
Making
it's not
me feel
about
even worse.
It's like, for me, it's like I'm competitive.
Word,
like,
you scoot up. Like, I need it. It's scoot up, awesome. Little buddy. You know?
So are the ladies' tees considered the tips, too?
Those the forward tees.
The forward tees. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we've got players who are playing from the tips out here. Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll start with Will. You have a full 18 holes to play, but you can only take three clubs. Which three are they?
Three clubs. I have a 5-wood that I hit off the tee a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take that one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take 9-iron and putter. That's what I'm going to take.
Okay, 5-9-iron putter.
Yeah.
DeMarcus.
I'm going 4-iron, 8-iron, and 56-degree wedge.
Oh, what are you putting with?
The wedge. Just the bounce on the wedge.
Oh, well, you see how easy that is? I actually putted with a hybrid one time. And you know why? Because I caught myself practicing putting at home, and I left it at home when I went to the course.
It happens. It happens.
Like
I think that is such an unfair question. The putter should be excluded.
It should.
That should be the fourth club that you're allowed to play with.
I've played in formats where you have to pick three and the putter doesn't count. It gets
okay.
You.
It gets, well, I guess I'll take the putter, although it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'll take a driver, mm-hmm. and I guess I'll take a 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
Best course in the DMV that you've played? I understand you guys have ties at Woodmore, so I get it if you say Woodmore. But best course DMV that you've played?
I have to go with Woodmore.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go with Kays Valley Golf Club in Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I had to work there for the scholarship thing, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Whiskey Creek, you mentioned that mm-hmm. a little while back. Mm-hmm. That I really like that. I'm still trying to make the full rounds of the DMV. Okay. Just lived here for a year, but mm-hmm. Whiskey Creek's great.
We're going to get Will out there. We're going to get Will out there soon.
All right, we'll start with you, Will. Favorite course outside of the DMV?
I was very lucky that my senior year of college, we made a trip to Scotland and played this course called Royal Dornoch.
Okay.
It's in the north of Scotland.
Sounds nice.
And it's like always in the top like 10 or 15 in the world list. Mm-hmm. And it's just like absolutely breathtaking. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
For me, it would be Druid Hill in Atlanta, Georgia. If anybody's listening from Atlanta, there's nothing else to say. They know. They know. It's just bar none.
Okay.
We'll practice there for Emory because it's right by Emory, so mm-hmm. so Will knows as well. It's crazy.
Sweet, sweet.
I would say Farm Neck on Martha's Vineyard, personal
okay.
favorite.
Nice, place. Nice. Sounds good. Okay, so you could have it's you and three other individuals, whether they're on tour, past presidents, whatever. Your dream three to join you for a round of golf.
I think I'm going Troy Mullins.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going Renee Powell.
Okay.
And who is my third? My third is my girl, Anya Alvarez. She's my girl.
For me, it's going to be Tiger Woods, mm-hmm. Barack Obama, mm-hmm. and one of my really good friends, Ryan Artis, who I grew up playing golf with. If not him, then one of my other guys, that's whoever's available.
But,
yeah, one of my guys, for sure.
Hey, who's available for a round with Tiger
yeah,
and Obama?
Exactly.
You'll get plenty of responses
yeah,
to that.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, like DeMarcus, I'm a huge Tiger guy, obviously. Okay. So, but golf has always been about my family, too. So probably my dad, my brother, and Tiger.
Nice. That'd be great. Nice. Okay, so favorite player on tour, PGA and LPGA?
I mean, Cat, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The big Cat.
What about LPGA?
Let's see. I've always liked Michelle Wee. Mm-hmm. I feel like she should have won more, but she was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go outside the default answer of Tiger Woods and go with Brooks Koepka because he truly does not care, and that is something I am fully behind.
He doesn't like to play golf.
Exactly.
He doesn't like the game. He hates it.
And any serious competitive golfer, they know that is exactly how we feel every day in and out.
He shows up 45 minutes before final. Like, what are you doing?
Why are you all worried? Yeah. I'm not.
No, and when they were like, how do you practice before the majors? Or no, why do you win so many majors? Yeah. And he's like, I practice.
What do you mean?
It's so funny. I mean, his answer to, he says, the majors are actually easier.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, when you look at the field, he
breaks
says,
the numbers down for you.
Half these guys don't have a chance.
Yeah.
Number one.
It's 50%.
He said, then the other, there's a portion of them that's going to make a big mistake in the early rounds. Mm-hmm. It's going to count them out. He said, then there's a portion of them that's left that I'm just better than. So it's really a handful of us. So I'm like, to be able to say
it's
that.
It's like 12 people that he competes against.
I mean, he's talking trash and he's backing it up.
There's nothing left to say after he plays. But so Brooks and Cheyenne Woods.
Okay.
We need more faces on the LPGA Tour, and she is our only at the moment. And
Mariah Stackhouse.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yes.
Shout out to Stanford.
Absolutely. I met her before a long time ago. My apologies, Mariah, for listening, but I'm still going Cheyenne for sure.
Sure.
So I'm going to go with Tiger. Mm-hmm. Like they say, if you're in the golf industry, Tiger doesn't move the needle. He is the needle. Mm-hmm. And we even see that in our business as well. So Tiger on the LPGA, it's tough. I really respect a lot of the Korean players. I respect Mariah and Miss Woods, and then I'll go with Cheyenne.
There we go. Okay.
First name is mine.
Nice. Okay, your least favorite player on tour.
Oh, this is easy.
Sergio Garcia.
Yeah.
I hate him too.
He has a great swing.
Don't put that out there.
Least favorite player on the PGA Tour is going to have to be Patrick Reed.
Oh, yes. You guys are hitting all the golf DMV notes. Hate Sergio. Hate Patrick Reed.
Cannot deal with Patrick.
Oh, goodness.
I probably would have said Patrick Reed, but I think Bryson DeChambeau took the title from him this week.
Top three for sure.
So congratulations.
Take the Kangol hat off. Like, just stop it.
And say it to Brooks' face next time, please.
You know, Bryson's not going to do that. Yeah, no, absolutely. And so one sport outside of golf, what's your sport?
Basketball.
Okay.
Basketball.
Baseball. Baseball. Played baseball, yeah.
One industry, if you weren't going to work in golf, what is it? Will.
Oh, man, I don't know.
Life would just be over.
What do I do? I don't know. Maybe coaching of some other kind. Mm-hmm. I thought about being a golf coach, but maybe get into teaching or coaching.
Okay. Graphic design for me.
Okay. So as a matter of fact, when we walked in, I saw you were on the laptop doing something with some stuff here.
So that wasn't originally the plan, and I got here, and we needed it, and I had to step up, and ever since I've just got a love for it.
That's what you do with startup stuff.
Someone's got to do it, and I had some class I took in high school for graphic design, and I remembered some of it, and I've just been building on top of it, and for the last 8 months, it's just been a love of mine that I didn't know I had.
Nice.
Thank you, Tari.
any disruptive startup technology, that's where I am.
Nice. And final question, lowest round ever. Personal lowest round.
Oh, I always feel like that's such a personal question.
It is, isn't it? No, it is.
It's a personal question. My lowest round is 93.
Nice.
67.
From tips?
Yeah.
He's looking at me like that's where I play from.
It was on my home course. I mean, I shot 68 there like two other times and then 67 once.
See how aggressive you must be.
Right. Yeah, it's the home course.
Like 67.
That's a really aggressive answer.
Come on. We played it 1,000 times. You know how to break.
67.
Yeah.
Oh, Will.
67, guys. Yeah. Sorry.
Let me remind you that I beat both of them.
Yes, she did. That is me twice.
This is the thing. So, low-key, I've been in certain areas a musician doing things, and so sometimes you're functional in certain things, and then you meet people who are really, really good at it, mm-hmm. and then you realize you've got a long way to go. That would happen to me all the time, musically, and like with golf, that like just like literally right now, it's like struggling to be mid 80s playing from 57.
Yeah, you got to put your 10,000 hours in. I mean, there's no shortcuts to it. It's just like everything else. You can ask, well, when you get to college golf, you kind of realize that even we are like nowhere near very good at all. Like, I have no shot at making it on PGA Tour. Like, even with the ability to shoot 65, like, I'm nothing on the big scale. Nothing.
Man. Nuts. No. But one other question. Strength and weakness of your game. We'll start with Tari.
Putting is my weakness. I can get to the green and, you know, certainly regulation, and then I'm 3-4 putting. What a good
day. Sister, yeah.
So my strength is definitely distance. I can kill the ball, but that is also my weakness, because distance control is super hard in golf once you get past, like, a certain level of distance, certain club head speed. So
that's what Mike Dobbin was saying. We interviewed on a previous show Mike Dobbin. He was a long draft champ in 2007, Mr. 551. And he's like, yeah, it sounds great, but it's when you're hitting the pitcher wedge 190, like, what do you do?
Exactly.
Okay, Clay and Will.
Strength would probably be putting. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, don't three putt very often, nice. But
how's that?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
Just practice. But I got to keep it in play off the tee. Sometimes I get a little wild, and then it gets out of control.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. And sorry, I don't think we talked about your strength. What was you talked?
Distance for me is my strength.
Okay. Nice. Perfect. So we know who to call when there's a tournament and we need a ringer.
Yeah.
Let's call City Swing and say, hey, which one of you guys are available to come and represent the Golf DMV team at those? So again, sorry. For more information on City Swing, where can people go?
CitySwingDC.com is the best place to go initially, and then we're all over Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
At City Swing.
Cool. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to bring Vern back in. Guys haven't heard from Vern all show. We're going to bring Vern in. We're going to do some Golf DMV stuff. I hate to kick you guys off, Mike, but any more airtime, I'd have to charge you. Say goodbye to the City Swing folks. Bye. That was great. That was great. Wonderful stuff from Tari.
Thank you all.
And the crew here. And so we'll bring Vern over, and we'll talk some Golf DMV stuff. I want to know your initial thoughts on the City Swing. We got to make sure we come back and just what you heard here. So, Vern, you were doing a lot of camera work. Didn't get a chance to talk to you.
Yep, camera work.
So let me know, what did you think about the interview, Tari, Will, DeMarcus, or D'Angelo, as I called him, but it's DeMarcus.
It's DeMarcus,
sorry about that.
I am the
worst.
With the name.
Yeah,
but anyway, no retention. Mm-hmm. That's all right. No, I thought it was dope. I was telling Tari before I came over here, I read a piece that The Undefeated did on her last year. I think Grady Diaz wrote that, and it was very informative. I think one of the things you said was you might have said it earlier, but you don't need to be good. You just need to be willing to participate, essentially. I'm paraphrasing.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And I really mean that for career advancement as well.
Right.
If you are comfortable just engaging in your company's charity golf tournament, if you are comfortable just going out there with the CEO of your organization, you don't have to be good at golf. Mm-hmm. You all know that. Right. You just have to be willing to participate, and you're going to reap the benefits.
So many opportunities open up. So to answer your question directly, Claude, I love it. I mean, I'm gonna have to come back out here and jump on the monitor.
Absolutely.
And hit 1,000 balls, as I realize I'm not as long as I thought I was. Chase that number or whatever. But yeah, I can't wait to come back out. And I think it was a pretty dope interview, even though I cut the power of the first segment. We had to do a second take. That's all right.
But what's really cool too, like, is you're a data guy, data analytics. You love to sit in front of a simulator, check out the numbers, and so that seems like it'll be the spot for you. But sorry, you also got tons of courses people can play when they hit the simulator.
So we actually have over 100 different golf courses. We have everything from St. Andrews, Pebble Beach, to Bethesda Country Club.
Nice.
And it really is a lot of fun. Then we also have arcade style games for people that just want a different type of target practice.
Right.
And then to your point, something called shot analysis and target practice, where you get all those data and analytics.
Right. Really want to have some fun and stuff like that. Yeah. I could really appreciate, like I said, coming in, working on your stuff on the range, and then actually coming in here and seeing what your actual numbers are.
Mm-hmm.
You marry that up what you're doing, out on the golf course, and, improve a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's Golf DMV on Federal News Network, 1500 AM, Podcast 1, and also GolfDMVPodcast.com here at City Swing, Northwest Washington, D.C. That guy's hitting around playing. Look at the head of session and just read up and play it again, which is good for business. LB, your initial thoughts hanging out at City Swing, talking to the crew?
Oh, I love it. Like I said, remind me of the place that we had ventured to in Orlando, minus the kids. Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I like the fact that you, like Vern was saying, you can see your, actually see your numbers.
Right.
I'm curious to see how that, if we can, how we can use that to translate and get a, to lower our scores.
Right. You know what I mean? There's ways. I can help you. I do a lot of research.
I need help.
I've tried a lot of different ways to lower my score, yeah. including paying a lot of money for lessons.
Right.
And they've worked. I've gotten better.
Hey, did you shoot 80s before, Paul Wilson?
No, I didn't.
Okay, all right. Right. That's exactly. What he would say to you.
Right. Yeah, you got your money's worth.
He would check you.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. So it's funny because, yeah, so we go out through, yeah, I'm sorry, I may have heard it. So we went out to Vegas to take these lessons from Paul Wilson, who's been on our show before, mm-hmm. and we go out there, and, I mean, we're paying money,
yeah.
and he's like, listen, you guys got to give it to September. Give it to, it's going to catch, it's going to catch. And I think LB might have been the most frustrated mm-hmm. after the lesson.
Easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he changed some things, so I kind of reverted. You know, I was, before I was got to him, I was low 90s, and every once in a while break into the 80s.
And because in LB's round, there's usually two holes that are blow-up holes. And yeah. if it weren't for those, he literally yeah. would be low 80s. He'd
yeah.
be low
Right, 80s consistently. Yeah.
Right. So then I go to Paul, and he changes some things. And now I'm really trying to relearn those things. So now I go from what I was shooting to the higher 90s. Now I'm like, hey, I'm going in the wrong direction.
And I don't think it helped because it immediately impacted Vern's game and my game. Like it fixed a lot of things.
Yeah, I went up and they went down.
Positive.
Right. Because I haven't beaten them up until that point.
Yep.
Now I'm losing to them on a regular basis. So I wasn't happy.
I give people a straight side eye if they tell me to change my grip.
Not happening?
Like, no.
Not happening.
No, we're not doing that.
We'll do anything else. We're not changing the grip.
Crazy. So let's change focus a little bit to the PGA Tour. By the time people hear this, Medina will be wrapping up because this airs on Sunday.
Right.
And so anything from the FedEx, it's interesting how these point systems work. Patrick Reed, who I'm sure we were all rooting against.
Yeah, pretty much.
On Sunday. And Harold Varner, who we're probably rooting for
yep.
on Sunday. Patrick wins. He goes from 50th in the standings, right?
Yep.
To second.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, just like that. With one win.
Just like that.
Is that the Northern Trust?
Yeah, the Northern Trust. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And so these guys are now at Medina. Who knows how it all plays out? But who do you guys think your personal favorite to win the FedEx Cup?
The FedEx
without seeing how Medina
plays
goes.
Out.
Yeah,
I got to go with my man,
Brooks.
Big game,
Brooks. Yeah.
Big game, Brooks.
Big game, yeah.
Because he doesn't have to win.
He's out ahead, right?
Right.
He's still ahead of Patrick's, mm-hmm. but he's not going to have to win, but he's going to have to be in front of a number of people.
Because a number of people are going to mess up and throw up on their shirt.
Right,
and he's going to come out there and not practice and just win. So,
right. According to him, right. But the problem he's got now is the people that are in the top five are real dudes.
Right.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
They're real shooters.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
As
the field dwindles.
Yeah, right. That's true. That's true.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
only G's are left
that's
at this point.
So I heard your boy's going to, well, we will know this by now, I guess, what time this airs, but your boy's going to play now. Mr. My back was sore last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he going to play.
He's going to try to get out there and get some money, huh?
Right, I guess.
Yeah, okay, good luck.
I think he's wasting his time.
Good luck.
That's just me.
Good luck, homie.
There we go. Now, LB, you've got some notes from the tour. Go right ahead.
No, I was just looking at, so Patrick won $1.6 million. The other black guy, he blew two putts coming down the stretch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
I should say blue, but.
He missed them.
He legit missed them.
Two clutch putts, yeah.
Exactly. Because if he had made those, he'd have been tied for at least, at one point, he would have been tied for first.
Right.
But he won $536,000 he was tied for third. And John Rahm, same guy.
Right.
He had the lead, lost the lead, got the lead back, and then lost it again.
Right.
Again, because he's, you know how he gets, well, that's why I call him blockhead. Because he's doing good for a while.
Right.
And then he gets something happen, and he gets mad at himself. He's cussing at himself, which I kind of like that part. It was funny.
Right.
But, he didn't do nothing. Phil Mickelson. We talked about him last show.
What have you been doing here?
Top 71. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what to say about him. Snedeker. Was putting really good on the end.
There we go.
And by the way, I have a Brant Snedeker story. A lot of Brant Snedeker stories. So yeah. I'm going to share it on the next show. But just here's a tease. And so a buddy of mine who also works in media, Brian Oppen, who's a producer for the Washington Wizards Radio Network, he got an opportunity through American Airlines and his MasterCard for a round at TPC Potomac at Avenel. And it includes he and a guest and our clinic with Brant Snedeker. And around there in breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and gifts, and all that kind of stuff. So got a chance to do an hour-long clinic with Brant, which I recorded some audio, so we'll play it back on the show next week.
Right.
Also, a lot of funny stories from Snedeker.
So I just hope that whatever lessons or tidbits he gave you, you will share with us at some point.
No, not a chance. Not a chance.
Get your own plug, homie.
Yeah, right.
So not much left with the Northern Trust. Spieth actually played well on Sunday because he hadn't played well on a Sunday forever.
Yep. Look at this story.
So he finally tried to right his ship. That's all I got for that. And because we're getting close on time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A couple things I wanted to. Jason Day and Steve Williams broke up their little marriage.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Jason Day's been struggling. He's got a lot of health stuff and he's always injured.
Yeah, he just said it was a chemistry thing. Old school versus new school didn't jive, didn't gel together, I guess, or whatever. I got one more thing. I need to do a shout out. I was in Louisville last week with a bit of a reunion, so I got to meet Rodney's playing partners that he normally plays with. Everybody knows who Rodney is, my best friend in Louisville.
But you've played with some of his playing partners before, right?
Okay. Yeah, some of them I had, and some of them I hadn't met before. Okay. So I want to say shout out to James, Russ, and Puck.
Oh.
I don't know what Puck stands for, but that's his name.
Okay.
And Stephen Berry was there as well as Williams, Stefan, Anthony, and Buzilla. And I can tell you how he got that name off air. It's not a for air.
Family friendly. Okay.
Yeah, it's not family friendly. Okay. But it was good to see them. Some of the guys I hadn't seen in 15 years. The infamous Memphis trip. So I just want to say hi to those guys.
Have you heard of the Memphis trip?
I haven't heard about the Memphis trip.
It's infamous.
Stories.
Infamous, yes.
No. We'll talk about that off air. Yeah, thanks again to City Swing for bringing us out. But Vern, you had something that you wanted to add about Bryce DeChambeau.
Bryce DeChambeau, you don't want that smoke. Listen.
Oh, with
listen,
Brooks.
The idea that, hey, I go over to your caddy and I'm all tough. Like, listen, I want them to say to my face. I feel like Brooks walks over. What's up, bro? Oh, and he gets real affable. I just wanted to. Yeah. If I was playing slow. Yeah.
Just let me know, man.
Don't try
just
to
let me
front know. With the caddy. You don't want that smoke. That's all I wanted to say. Get out of your feelings. You know, he did faster.
But apparently Brooks did go over to him.
That's what I'm saying. When he came over there, I'm sure he went from being loud to being like, oh, well, you know, if you think I should play faster.
Way.
Just tell me and I'll try to do what I can do.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, honestly, like, just play fast, like this whole thing. Well, I walk faster to my ball than most players, and so I make up for the time. It's like, seriously, dude. First of all, you're already weird with the same size shafts. Like, you know, you do the little hat thing, and we get it. Do your own thing.
Protractors.
Stop, you know, just stop. What was it that he had the little.
It was a protractor.
Yeah, and he said he couldn't play with it anymore, and he's getting all upset about that. Remember? It's like, you know, what are you really doing with that man?
Size every shot, when you get to your ball, be ready.
Yeah. Stop being a weirdo. Man, we're going to talk about slow play on an upcoming. We'll do it during the winter.
There we go.
Yeah, when this a lot less is gone. Who knows? Maybe City Swing will be the official winter recorded spot.
Hopefully.
For Golf DMV. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll see. Thank you everybody for listening to Golf DMV. Again, the website golfdmvpodcast.com for all things Golf DMV. And until then, man, we'll talk to you guys next week.
Good night.
Later.
I wish you guys nothing but best. The ceiling is the roof.
Hey, everybody, it's Claude from Golf DMV on 1500 AM Federal News Network and Podcast One. I want to invite you to join myself and Kevin Stanfield for the Federal Football Report this football season. Join us every day at 7 p.m. following the Redskins game to break down everything Washington Redskins, burgundy and gold. Again, that's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network on 1500 AM.